week's episode of Alexify, the Place for Fashion podcast. This is your host, Lexi Silverstein. I have the pleasure today of talking to Barbara Majeski. You can see her on The Today Show, Inside Edition, Good Day New York, and many other national and local television shows. Barbara's a nationally recognized lifestyle expert who shares her secrets on traveling, gifting, entertaining, and basically anything that has to do with living your best life. Barbara, thank you so much for joining me today. It's so nice to speak to you.
Lexi, you're so cute. Oh my God. I feel like I'm talking to a future megastar. So thanks for having me.
Oh my God.
You're a megastar already, but I think you're just on the uptick where you are today and where you're going to be tomorrow. Amazing things.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You know, I really just love your story. You are a news personality, but this is not something you studied at college. You transform your life in your 40s after a divorce and serious cancer scare. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
That's a great place to start. Yes. So I, in my 20s, actually, I launched a direct sales company and I scaled that and grew sales teams across the United States. My degree is actually in community health education. I thought I would go into corporate wellness and help people do weight loss programs and smoking cessation and wellness and nutrition. And then when I got into the workforce, I decided I just wanted to make money. I'd heard that sales was where it was at, and it did not disappoint. So I worked my crazy pants off in my 20s. And then in my 30s, I was a stay-at-home mom. I have three children. So I gave birth to three kids in my 30s, 30, 32, and 38 years old.
Wow.
And then in my 40s, after I got through cancer was really hard on me. I consider myself a very hardy woman, and I'd run the New York City Marathon twice. And for some reason, cancer just knocked me sideways. And when I was in some of my darkest days, I just made a vow to the universe, if you give me another shot, I'll no longer play small, I'll go big. And I'd always wanted to be in television. And the truth is, I just had very low self-esteem in my 20s. I had very low self-esteem for a very long time. So I always felt like television and all these other careers were for the pretty people. I was never tall enough. I was never short enough. I wasn't blonde enough. I wasn't brunette enough. I wasn't whatever enough. I was always talking myself out of something that I really wanted to do. And I thought it was for everyone else. And when I was in my darkest days of cancer, I swore that I would no longer allow the voices of self-doubt or the weight of other people's opinions dictate the things that I was going to do. I was like, if you give me another shot, I will no longer live in that narrative and I will change the narrative in my head. And I got another shot and I was like, you know what? Life is short. I'm going to go ahead and I want to be on television. So I sold my wedding ring and hired a media trainer, and she helped train me to be on TV. So I learned all the tricks of the trade, and it's been great ever since. My first booking was actually on the Today Show of all places. She did no short stops in Van Buren, Arkansas for me. I just went right into the big stuff. But let me just say this, and what I love, why I'm so excited to have this conversation with you, Lexi, is that you don't have to wait until you're confronted with your own mortality before you start stepping into that power. Nothing changed about me. I'm the same person. The only thing that actually changed, the only thing that the dialogue was what changed. The conversation that I had between my ears literally is the only paradigm shift that I made. And it's such an important thing, because the conversation you have with yourself is the most important conversation that you have. It is so critical that you speak kindly to yourself and you empower yourself and you believe in yourself and you swipe left on the voices of self-doubt and the weight of other people's opinions. Because once I did that, I stepped into my power. I stepped into my power and decided I would rather fail trying than fail to try. And it's just an important, you do not wait till you're 40, because now I'm a little bit older and I like my, you know, I had chemo, you know, I was like, and now I'm going to go on TV. It would have been nicer to do it in my 20s, but here we are. So thanks, Alexia. That's a great question. A great place to start.
Well, that is truly amazing. And I think that that's what really does stop so many people is that little voice inside your head, you know, the one telling you like, no, like you can't do it because of this or that or this. And that just literally just changing that mindset a little and just telling yourself that like, you can do it or like whatever, you know, whatever gets you to end up getting to that place is so, so helpful. So, you know, what, looking back, what do you think was the biggest challenge of reinventing yourself or getting into this news business?
So I would say the negative self-talk that would always creep in my head, that now I had a new negative narrative. You're too old. You are, you passed your prime. You have chemo brain and can't, you know, you don't think like you used to and things don't. So again, I do feel that the negative dialogue that is, listen, you can't, that's who we are. It's what we're conditioned to do, but continuing to push those voices down. And Lexi, I really tapped into really my higher self. And what, when I say that, it's like, I knew I belonged on television. It's like, it was this nagging, like goal, wish, dream, aspiration that never went away. It wasn't like, oh, I, you know, in my 20s and my teens, I wanted a Jeep Wrangler. You know what, that faded. I don't want a Jeep Wrangler anymore. I want nothing to do with a Jeep Wrangler. It's too loud. It's too annoying. But you know, the dream of being on television. So it's so interesting when we talk, when I bring up the Jeep, because the Jeep is just a material item. It's just materialistic. But dreams and experiences and opportunities that refuse to leave and do not stop chirping at you, they have to be manifested. They have to be materialized. You have to step into them. You are supposed to do it. It is not, it is just not, a, it's not necessarily a dream. It is your aspiration. It's your duty to step into that power. And it wouldn't leave me. So I think just, again, having the power and this new, I had to develop a muscle because being able to swipe left and navigate your way around negative self-talk is a muscle that needs to be developed because it is so easy to quit or to put yourself down or to talk yourself out of things because you have to be uncomfortable to try new things. You have to really put yourself in awkward situations. So it's so much easier to just tell yourself you're not worthy and be okay. Like it's so much easier to stay in that negative space, but it takes like a true, it takes a higher self. Like you have to, but it's a choice. And that's what's so important in this dialogue is that it's actually a decision. It's not a condition. You decide whether you can or you cannot. You're right. It's a Henry Ford quote, whether you think you can, or you think you can't, you are right. So it's that paradigm. And I do want to mention one other thing in this space of the conversation that you have with yourself and how important it is that you speak kindly to yourself and you empower yourself with real words of affirmation. And I always say these are three bullet points that everybody should say to themselves on a daily basis. I'm a person of action. I am a person of my word, and I am a person of massive potential. These are things you need to, you, when some script comes in, that's like, I'm not good enough. You need to say those three things. That should be your punishment. Like, okay, now that you said that nasty thing about yourself, you are a person of your word. You are a person of action and you are a person of massive potential. Those three, you know, three things are so important. That those positive affirmations about yourself are a great tool to redirect negative energy and negative thoughts, because negative thoughts, negative words, negative actions, you become a negative person. You don't want to do that. But I also want to talk about one other thing. So that's positive affirmations about yourself is one tool to redirect it. The second thing is practicing compassionate understanding. And what that is how you judge others. And the truth is, I had read a book about by Deepak Chopra, and he's amazing, and I worship him, and he says all the right things. But in it, it says practice non-judgment. And I could never, I was like, I just walk around and judge shit all day long. But I realized through this little book that I read about gratitude, it was like, it is actually the human condition. You have to judge because it's how you stop yourself from walking into oncoming traffic. So I want to take that. I understand his intention, but I want to take it a step further and say, practice compassionate understanding. And why it is so important in this dialogue is because everyone is battling something you know nothing about. And you've also never walked in that person's shoes. And prior to the wheels falling off in my marriage and cancer, I was Miss Judgy Pants. And I had I was a sanctimonious, judgmental bitch. And then all these things happened to me and I had to walk the walk of what, if that happened to me, I would never, I used to say that, Lexi, the sound of my own voice irritates my ears. If that happened to me, I would never do that. I would do this. So then the universe was like, all right, bitch, here you go. Like, here's the slice of that pie that you said you would. And it was like, oh, well, I really didn't, you know, so it's just, I can't express to you. I have been on both sides. And by being compassionate, understanding, and recognizing, you have no idea what that person is going through. And you assume that their battles are much deeper than what they're presenting. You will offer them grace and be like, all right, well, you know, listen, they're just having a tough day. And the grace that you afford others and that dialogue in your head extends to the grace that you give yourself. And if you can extend it out to others, you can extend it to yourself. And when you begin to change those narratives and that dialogue in your head, your thoughts dictate your words. Your words dictate your actions. Your actions dictate your consequences. Your destiny can be the trajectory of your life. All begins and ends with the dialogue you have in your head. So it's not just about how you talk to yourself. It's also how you talk about others and the energy you put out there. And I will close this little tirade of mine by saying, when you speak poorly of others, it reflects more on you than it does of them. Always remember that. It speaks more about you than it does of anybody else. So guard that and make sure you are improving the silence. So that is my my jag for improving the narrative in your head and combating self-negative talk, which was my most difficult, was challenged me the most to get out of my way, but and to live my best life. That answered your question.
Definitely. I also think that what you said at the end there was, you know, like, so people also need to think that when, you know, they may see like a negative comment on their TikTok post or their Instagram or whatever, you know, they need to think in their head, like, oh, like, that's not actually about me. That's about them. That says more about them than it does about me. Just like how you just said, like, if you're going around saying bad things about other people, it says more about you than it does about them. And just like having that mindset, I guess, also like through social media is a great mindset of having when just like scrolling through.
Lexi, I think what you're saying is so powerful because the people that somebody that is listening to what you're talking about, somebody attacked them. It is like, it's part of social media, but it's also part of being public figures, which a lot of us are. And people are so much more public now because of social media. So your generation is just exposed to bullies and, you know, and it is, and when somebody attacks you, and you will be attacked, and people that are listening, you have been attacked. And I'm sorry for that because I know how it hurts and it cuts deep. And when people attack, they come at you with the force of the, like, a beyond, but it is not you. It is a direct reflection of the battles that they are waging within. If you can take pause and not engage and offer compassion and move on, it is an elevating power. It's a superpower. Because I'm telling you, when they cut deep, and you just want to unleash the Kraken on them. But it's, the truth is, there's probably already a Kraken around their neck. You know, there's already something constricting their soul and their light and their being and their heart space and whatever. And that's so sad, because nobody needs to pollute the air. Hurt people hurt people. Kind people, I don't sit on the internet and troll people and write nasty comments, okay? Because I'm not, I would never. I just keep scrolling. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that, I don't agree with that. It's not my political view. It's not my thing of view. I don't sit there with my little fingers. La, 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 la. I don't do that. But the people that do are in such a space. Just walk away. Don't ever try not to. Is it hard? Yes. Are you going to stumble at times? For sure. But if you can just get in a headspace of like, that is such a reflection on such a sad person, and somebody mistreated that person. There's no question in my mind, because you and I aren't sitting there troll. Ooh, I'm gonna tell her, you know, a body shamer or food shamer or some shame. And mom ain't good. I ain't got time for that. I got to waste 30 seconds on putting somebody down. I got better things to do. I'm taking over the world just like you are, Lexi. World domination. Yeah. People are dominating the world. I got to shit talk somebody. Moving on. Okay. Keep on.
I love it. I love it. So now that we're talking about social media, how important would you say social media is to building your brand, and what platforms are you currently on?
So I love TikTok. Love TikTok. I'm 48 years old. I love TikTok. And I'm going to tell you the platforms that I love and why. First of all, TikTok and Clubhouse are my two favorite platforms. Now, you know, I'm on TV, so that's kind of a given. That's my work. But social media wise, TikTok and Clubhouse are my jam. And I will tell you why. Instagram, you can see me, and television, you can hear me. But on TikTok and Clubhouse, I am so much more three-dimensional. You can get to know me on both of those platforms. Through short form video reels, you get to know me a little bit better. So I would say TikTok is like a two-dimensional introduction to me, my brand, my journey. And Lexi, my brand is my story, and my story is my brand. So being able to actually bring my story, which I can't do on television, I get a 4 to 5 minute segment about, you know, the 4th of July. You're not going to hear that I reinvented myself in my 40s. I shed skins and I'm just reinventing myself and living my best damn life. You're not going to know that on TV, but on Clubhouse and TikTok, you get to see that because I share it through these little videos and these backstories. So, you know, social media, depending on your brand, whether you're a mission-based brand or a product-based brand, you know, there's so many, but what works for you is going to work for the next person. You know, people that are just more visual and they just take beautiful photos, and that is how they express themselves through art and photography and, you know, maybe fashion, you know, and that's just more of a flat lay, but that's their beauty and that's their artistry and that's their lane, but that works for them. But you have to find your own lane of what works for you. Some people really do great on LinkedIn. And some people do great because they're great on Twitter and they're so funny on Twitter. I am not funny on Twitter. I suck at Twitter. I'm funny in real life. I am fun. I'm funny. I'm just off the wall. But on Twitter, I'm like a total zero. I'm a zero. It's like so insulting. I'm like, no, I'm really fun. And on Twitter, I'm just a total zero. Okay. So anyway, that's just cool. You got to kind of find your lane, I guess you can say.
You mentioned you're on Clubhouse and you love Clubhouse. So Clubhouse is pretty new. I mean, for a while there, I don't know if you can get on through different ways now, but for a while there, you could only get on like really through invite, and they're kind of just testing out how the app was going to work. So a lot of people, I feel like, don't really know about Clubhouse and how much it actually helps your business. So what would you say really sets Clubhouse apart? And like how it's really helped you?
I think for Clubhouse, it's three-dimensional. You know, people can hear you and you can't put a filter on your voice. You have to be able to articulate yourself, speak in more sound bites, and you can't go running off on tangents. Otherwise, people literally will mute you or not invite you onto the stages. But I think as far as Clubhouse goes, it's just a great way to connect with like-minded individuals. And I've just found there's a collective energy on there. Mm-hmm. And people that are not just window shopping, like maybe they will on Pinterest or Instagram or Facebook, but people that are taking active measures to improve themselves, whether that's personally, professionally, spiritually, you know, having those, that's the like-minded energy that it's attracting. So, you know, for the right people, their brands, their businesses, their exposures are literally being amplified unlike any other platform. So for anybody that, you know, everyone should test out all the platforms. I never prejudge anything. I learned that through my cancer treatments. I just learned a lot about myself and about judgment and where it really belongs, which is in the toilet. But don't prejudge anything. You know, I think you need to put yourself out there. I mean, the funny thing for me, that's a good lesson, is with TikTok. I thought, because I prejudged, I thought TikTok was for dancing 12-year-olds and, you know, all that, which is a lot of people's perception of TikTok because Charli D'Amelio, whatever. But I saw my daughter was eight at the time. I saw her do a video and she voiced over her video with like talking points. And I was like, Milena, that's so smart. I could really use that for one of my television segments and break down some of the DIY stuff I do. So I was like, will you teach me? She goes, yeah. So she teaches me. And I go, can you put it on your TikTok? Because I don't have a TikTok. Can you put it on yours? And she's like, oh, mom, that is horrible. I would never, oh, like, she's like literally giving me like, who would put that dumb TikTok? And I'm like, well, I just want to try it out and da, 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 da. And she goes, open up your own TikTok. So I had somebody over the house doing some repairs. And I said, can I borrow your phone? I can't seem to figure out. Can I just like try this TikTok? I used their phone and phone number, opened up a TikTok because I clearly am not technically savvy. And I just wanted to try it out. 3 days later, my daughter runs into the garage. She goes, mom, your TikTok went viral. To this day, I have 3.1 million views on that dumbest TikTok ever. And in like a month, I had $20,000 on TikTok, which by far surpassed my damn Instagram that I'd been working at since the dawn of time. Yeah. So please, ladies and gentlemen, don't prejudge Clubhouse. Don't prejudge LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever, and just really be open until you explore it for yourself. And it's such a life lesson. Just until I do it for my kids will be like, oh mom, I don't like that sport. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You've never done it. Like, you don't get to judge. I've made my kids, I'm crazy, but no, it's a no judgment zone in that space of just do not judge something until you've walked it. Like, and then judge the shit out of it that you don't like it. You know, like skiing. I remember my kids were like, I don't like skiing. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're nothing years old. You've never skied. You've never snowboarded. Get on the skis. And now I'm a skier. So I'm really big on that of like, if you just, until you've done it, just can you suspend judgment until you've walked? And then you can judge it and be like, I really hate it. Like, I don't like calamari. Great. Because you tried it. So anyway, keep going, Lexi.
No, definitely. And I know I really loved, because like, I feel like TikTok is really, it's more, the algorithm's more random. Like you kind of just have that for you page and it goes on whoever's for you page is kind of geared towards that. But I feel like Clubhouse, like you were saying earlier, it's really for people who like, they're scrolling through and they're finding, they're wanting to learn something specific. And so I like that you kind of mentioned that about Clubhouse. Moving on a little bit, have you found that women have supported you throughout your journey? And do you think it's important to have a mentor? And how would you advise young females to find a mentor?
So I've always found supportive, people, women, men. I think that I'm a very supportive woman. And that like attracts like. I am definitely the queen that will fix your crown. I do not seem to be a jealous person. I don't know what the gods have forgotten to put that in me or something. I love seeing people do well. I'm more like, if I can't beat them, join them. I love beautiful people, smart people, gifted people, talented people. I can't get enough of them. I'm like, oh my God, can I just be next to you just because I like admire this? And if I ever feel that even like a twinge of like envy, it's such a great, like, it's something I'm like, well, that's what I want. Like, oh my God, I just found where I'm, how can I like, how do I do that? Or how do I dress like that? Or how do I get that? Or how does, and it's like, oh, it's such a, such a great tap into like what I can aspire for. So I feel like I can't beat them, join them. So I'm definitely the biggest clapper on the sidelines and first person to congratulate anybody on some big win or success. I almost feel like it's like, I'm part of it. I don't know. Like, I just like, well, I was part of it and I wasn't part of it, but I'm part of it. So just, and because I have that energy, I believe that's what I attract. And I'm not insecure in that space of, you know, there's light and love for everyone. I don't feel territorial. You know, even if somebody like, even on Clubhouse, somebody's like, they want to open a room at the same, I will literally promote their room. I just feel there's so much for everyone. There's room for everybody to live out their best life. I am not territorial. And if I can help the next guy, I am right in there. That's just what I want to take to the grave of like, I just was really part of the human experience and lived a life of service and giving back. I think it's important. So I do think that there's some women, or there's men, there's women, there's just people that just are insecure and come from a fear-based mentality and not an abundance-based mentality. So I come from, I'm an abundance base of like, I think there's, the world is an abundant place of opportunity. That's why I say an affirmation you need to tell yourself and know, and you need to know you have massive potential. Everybody has massive potential, not just potential, massive potential. And just, you know, I think not everybody has been, people are taught through their parents, their caretakers, their friend group, their tribe. Sometimes they're taught to be fear-based and scarcity. It's all scarcity. That's fear-based scarcity makes you move very minimally, very controlled, very fearful. But when you change that paradigm to abundance and there's room for everyone and like everybody wins, you navigate this world with like a big, like a bigger movement and like more powerful, more energetic. And it does bring more people, you know, you're a more trusting entity, you know, you're just mm-hmm. a more powerful human being because you're going to attract like-minded individuals that trust you and that know that you've got their back. And then in turn, they've got your back. And then you've got this epic synergy that is geared for world domination. It's just a beautiful energy to embody. So I hope that answers your first question. And then the second was talking about finding a mentor. Mm-hmm. Although I'm so like in that space of like abundance right now, like just live big, bold, and don't be fearful and scarcity. There's, especially as you're an American, like we have abundant opportunity. But it is, we're just not all raised with that, you know, we're afraid of losing money, we're afraid of losing our job, we're afraid of this, and understandable. These are all like the consequences are traumatizing. But there's also abundance and opportunity. And I think, you know, we talk about not collaboration over competition. It's a little bit of both. I think it's great to like support your competitors. Like when somebody else is like running faster, guess what you do? You run faster. You make me better because you are better. And you might be a little bit better than me about this, but I bet you I'm a little bit better at that. Nobody, we're all beautiful and gifted and have a massive potential to be amazing in our own right. And there's plenty of abundance. So that's like a big deal for me. And finding, when you are like that, you attract that and you repel people of another mindset. You offend, repel, and they don't want anything to do with you. And a drowning man will bring you down. So that is not who you need to be. You're going to repel them. They will try to bring you down. There's nothing you can do except step away, cut ties, move on. That's not where you're going to put your energy if you're moving in this track, but it is, it offends the fearful. Your bright light offends, repels, nothing you can do. So I really put that out there because there's a lot of fear-based out there and I'm just not of it. I'm of an abundant tribe and not a scarcity tribe. And life is short. Listen, I already faced down my mortality and I survived. So I'm a little bit of a super, you know, I'm like, go big or go home. I want to like, when, if my card is ever called again, I'm showing up on empty with bald tires and the doors falling off. That's all I can say. I'm going big. So to your mentor question, should everyone have a mentor? You should have not one mentor. You should have mentors. Everybody has their light that shines so bright, but nobody is perfect and nobody can be all knowing. So at different times and chapters in your life, you should definitely bring in mentors and talk with them and allow them to be like sounding boards and watch what they do. I think watching actions speak louder than words, ladies and gentlemen. Actions speak louder than words. There's a lot of good talkers out there, and there's a lot of shit talkers, but there's also a lot of people that are action takers and they're people of their word and follow their actions. So never marry yourself to any one mentor because eventually they're going to disappoint you because you're going to have to hold them to some sort of rock star or deity, you know, and we're all flawed and everybody's flawed and you're flawed and your parents are flawed. I know your parents are perfect. I will take that back. Your parents are perfect. My parents are perfect. So, but they have raised a perfect child. I'm very impressed by you, Lexi.
Thank you so much.
So I just think that's so important is that you find mentors and always become a mentor yourself and know that people are watching. And I know for me personally, when I was going through my cancer treatments and some of the other, you know, traumas and tragedies in my own life, which are inevitable in life, knowing that other people were watching and that that I had to really take stock of my actions and my behaviors and my how I was navigating difficult times. And that's super important. So just back to my little quip there, actions speak louder than words. And it is so cliche, but I literally could tattoo it on like the back of my hand. It is, and then just smack people with it. You know, like there's a lot of good talkers out there, but it's the actions, 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 because actions lead to consequences and outcomes and destiny. It's the actions. It's like everyone could talk a good game about diet, exercise, but it's those that are like literally walking the walk and showing up and doing the thing. So yeah, that's my lecture, Lexi. Lexi's lecture of today.
I love it. Your energy and everything you are saying is like, I'm encouraged. I'm like hyped up over here.
Good.
What's some advice that you would tell your 20-something self?
So some advice I would give to my 20-something self. I would just tell my 20-something self, don't be so hard on myself. I was very hard on myself. I have very negative self-talk. I vibrated at a low level. And, you know, somebody in her name is, oh my God, I need to remember her name. Why am I blanking on it? I will come back to the name, because she said it in a Clubhouse room and it was so damn good. And she said, gratitude, the gratitude energy vibrates at a higher frequency. And I feel that in my 20s, I lacked gratitude for all the gifts in my life. I was so focused on negativity and the things that weren't going well and the things I didn't have. And, you know, everyone else had more and everyone else was better looking and everybody else was smarter and everyone else had better parents and better cars and better. And I vibrated, I think, at a frequency that was unbecoming and unserving to myself. And if I could go back in time, and I would encourage that 20-year-old to migrate to a higher level frequency. And one of the best ways to move yourself out of a low vibe, which low vibe attracts low tribe, you know, a higher vibration, you go into gratitude and grace. You know, it's not just being funny all the time, but it's really just being like, I have so many things to be so grateful for. Be grateful for your coffee in the morning. Be grateful for the gas that you're able to put in your car. Be grateful for the sun and finding, because gratitude vibrates at a higher frequency. And that frequency carries you through life and you attract better people, better circumstances. Opportunities are more readily available to you. So I don't think I vibrated at a very high frequency in my 20s. And it took me a long time. And I continue to want to just really, I feel like a better person. I even have gratitude for my ex-husband and my cancer, like things that you think that are so negative, but I'm a better person for so many of these things. And I'm a better person because I can find grace and gratitude in them. So yeah, I was a little salty, bitter 20-year-old. I mean, I still was funny and fun, but I was a little, you know, I just wasn't as grateful for things. So gratitude and vibrating at that level is a choice. Again, it's like you're in the driver's seat. You can either be woe is me, kick rocks and hang out in the fetal position on the bathroom floor 24/7, or you can have your moment, take a knee, cry yourself, you know, have your pity party, which by the way, we all deserve, throw it, clean it up, and then move forward and get back to grace, gratitude, in any way, space that you can, write it down and get out of your own negative mental space. So that's me. I hope that answers your question. I sound like I was a real asshole, but I wasn't
No, oh my gosh. No, definitely. And so if you were to give, you know, college students one piece of advice about their careers or their personal life or something else, just what would it be? Just one thing.
So my advice to anybody in college or just getting started is, I think you guys are just trying to find out who you are and then label it and then stick to it. you are going to have many incarnations of yourself. You are going to shed many skins and step into new robes over and over and over again. So you do not need to be married to any sort of title or job or identity at this point. And I am a living, breathing example of it. I have a degree in health education. I launched sales teams across the United States. I became a stay-at-home mom for an entire decade, and then I launched into television, and now I'm an on-air television personality. And in the next chapter, I'm going to write a book and be a best-selling author. So what I want everyone to know is just enjoy where you're at right now and take a little bit of angst off the table of like, you've got to figure it out. All you need to do is be really happy and be a little uncomfortable in whatever you're pursuing, because if you're comfortable, you're not growing. So try something new. Understand it is a chapter, it's an experience, it's an opportunity. You can change and grow and evolve. You don't, so be okay, you know, with just be, I want to be a number one podcaster right now and be in media, and that is who you are right now. And Lexi, take it till you can't, like, go big, go as big as you want, and like really like ring it out, you know, like literally just go full board. But don't worry about reinventing yourself. The more you're able to be uncomfortable with the new incarnations of who you are, the better your life is going to be. Be okay with being uncomfortable, trying new things, and you are not married to any label, title, or anything. You're even going to change your last name if you want. You can do whatever you want in this day and age. You can change your gender, for crying out loud. Nobody's going to judge you anymore. Well, people might, but they don't matter, because people that mind don't matter, and people that matter don't mind. Dr. Seuss, that's all I have to say about
that. No, definitely. My friend the other day said that it's all part of the plot. So this is just an exciting part of the plot in the movie of your life.
Yes. And you want the movie to be a little exciting, have a little twists and turns. So, you know, I think that's so important. You guys are so much pressure is put on you to be all these things. And the truth is, all your parents want and all the universe wants is you to be happy and to live out your best life, try new things, explore new things, and really to be happy and to spread that happiness to others and live in service. So you don't have to be, you know, I'm gonna be a doctor today. Well, you know, hey, you know, Lexi, I might be a doctor in my 60s. You don't know what shit I'm gonna do. Nobody ever knows. I like to keep them guessing, but anything I do, I'm gonna do with all my heart and give my very, very best. And that's what you're in control of. You can't always control the outcomes, but you can control your effort and being your best and being a good student. So that's my jam.
Definitely. So is there anything I haven't asked you that you'd like to share to the podcast?
I'm going to give you some great feedback. Lexi, I am so impressed by you. And anybody's listening that you can't see this, Lexi is doing this call either from a bathroom floor, or I don't even know where you're doing this from. I want to say this is one of the most impressive things I have seen in a very long time. And you know what it says about you? It says you are a do whatever it takes person. And that kind of person is going to be successful. I can only see that there's a towel bar above your head, and I am absolutely in love with it. It speaks volumes about your aptitude, and I'm really impressed by you. So that is an answer to a question you didn't ask. But you are a true winner. Your parents are really doing a great job raising a real somebody. And I'm grateful our paths have crossed.
Thank you so much. I am currently in my bathroom. My roommates are all outside, so this is the only place.
That's the badassery in that is like epic, because let me tell you, you just separated yourself from so many people. You are a true one percenter, because anybody else, most people would have been like, I can't do a podcast. I've got nowhere to go. I don't even have a car. I'm in college or whatever excuse. And instead you're sitting on a bathroom floor with a towel bar behind your head and you have your headphones on and you're absolutely crushing it. Lexi, you are a winner and I am really impressed.
Thank you so much. That has been I will be smiling about that comment for the rest of my life. That was.
I'm taking a screenshot. What are you talking about? I'm taking a screenshot.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I literally had so much fun, and everything you said was so inspiring. Where can people find you on social media?
Find me at Barbara Majeski. Barbara Majeski on TikTok, because that's my fun. That's the best one. And then Barbara Majeski on Instagram. I'm less fun, but still fabulous. And if you want to come ask me questions, I am on Clubhouse under Barbara Majeski. And just DM me if you want to come on stage and ask any questions. That's the best way to get in touch with me and get on stage and ask me questions.
Perfect. Thank you so, so, so much. Again, I hope you had a great time. This has been Alexify, the Place for Fashion podcast. Follow me on my socials. My Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok are all at Lexi Silverstein. That's L-E-X-Y, silver like the color, S-T-E-I-N. And remember to make the ordinary extraordinary.